Hey, greetings, everybody. It is Brother Tupos with Sister Amen, and we want to bring you...
Edification audio.
Hey, that's a good one. That was going to be my line, but you could have it.
I took the words and gave them out.
Oh, good job, good job. We had a really quiet day today.
Peaceful.
Peaceful. We got a whole bunch of kind of housekeeping stuff done on the van, Sister Amen mostly. I've been sitting and waiting... working online, resting my finger. I cut my finger open, and I've got to wear a splint on my finger, otherwise it'll rip it open again. I've got some van projects I got to get done, waiting for some parts to come in.
Yeah.
And once my finger heals, I can get those done, because we, in about a week and a half, are going to be headed south, getting out of the Missouri cooler weather, and headed down for our preaching in the southern states, where there's all kinds of events waiting for us. Mm-hmm. And we have a young couple that's coming with us this winter, so we're pretty excited about that. They're leaving Canada soon, and if everything works out well, we'll be traveling together, so we're excited about it. So, yeah, just working on some things here in a park that we know pretty well, and it was a good day.
It was, because like 10 steps away from the back of the van... is a water spigot.
Yeah, we got water. They put in new water spigots here, so Sister Amen was washing clothes and getting a whole bunch of stuff done, so...
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it was a good day. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. Some gospel cards went out as we did some other things, some errands and such, so what's on your mind, Sister Amen? What's on your heart? What do you want to share?
Well, when we came here this morning, I went for that walk, and there was a couple I was walking around. The park has, like, this big road that goes in a big circle, and I was... taking a couple laps around it and just walking and enjoying the morning, and came across a husband and wife couple, it looked like, and they were walking toward me, and I asked them if they wanted a gospel card, how to find eternal life, and they just kept walking. They said, no, thank you, we got a church. And as I was walking, you know, they came toward me, and then they just kept walking away, so they just kind of faded off, and I was thinking, they got a church. They don't have the truth. They didn't say, oh, thank you, we already have the truth. Hey, can we test yours? They just said, we got a church, and just kept walking.
Our Lord said we know them by their fruit. Brother and I were talking about how he as he's preparing for their trip to come and travel with us, they're selling all their stuff and giving some of their stuff away. And people come to get it, and then he gives them the gospel, and they say, yeah, we know Jesus, and they don't want to talk. They don't want to talk about it. And we were talking about they must have the new silent translation of the Bible, because our Bibles tell us that we're supposed to talk about the Lord, and we're supposed to love other Christians, and we're supposed to proclaim the gospel, and we're supposed to strive with each other and care about each other. And their Bibles say, shh, don't talk about it. Just keep it to themselves. That's man-made religion for you. And it's pretty sad, but it's very common.
Yeah, it's probably the same Bible maybe the Anabaptists read, because they do the same thing.
Yep, yep. Yeah, what do we call it? The new ecumenical silent version. The NESV.
Yeah.
Pretty sad and pretty pathetic.
I was going to say.
Go ahead.
So this morning, no gospel card went out on my walk. There wasn't a whole lot of people in the park today anyway. But this afternoon, I was walking around again talking to sisters on the phone. And I made two laps around. When I say laps, I'm just walking.
Yeah.
So... I go around twice, and this woman is sitting in this little black car, and her window was open, and I saw she kind of looked out one time, the first time, the second time, and then the third time I came around, I was still talking to my sisters, she's looking out the window, like, purposely at me, and she's smiling, so maybe she heard some of the conversation.
Could
so I walked over there, and I asked her if she wanted a gospel card, told her it was the path to eternal life, and she said, yes, thank you, and she took it, and she was reading a book in the car. I didn't want to bother her too much because I approached her car and I just offered it to her. And then as I was coming around one more time, she was leaving and she was waving at me.
Good job, Sister Amen.
Smiling. So.
Spreading the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? And it's nice sharing those, because it's a simple way for other people to see how you can share the gospel and maybe encourage people to do it more.
Right. It doesn't have to be anything big. It doesn't have to have a gospel sign. It doesn't have to be confrontational. It can just be... sharing the truth. It's like seeds of truth going out to people.
Yeah.
And they got our email, they got our website if they want more. So we're just trying to feed people spiritual truth.
Right, like the other day we were coming out of a store and you had your hands full and I was right behind you and a young guy was holding the door open.
Yeah.
And I love where my gospel cards are. Within a split second I can stick my hand in and pull it out. Yeah. And I had one for him, and he took it, and he was reading it when we walked away.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. So always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you.
Yep, and be sure your gospel cards are quickly accessible.
Yeah.
If you got to dig around, I always say
if you can, go in a store, have one in your hand as you're walking around grocery shopping or whatever. It'll go out if it's in your hand. You'll have more opportunity. If it's buried away in your pocket or purse somewhere, you'll miss the chance. Oh, I didn't have a card in my hand.
Make a specific pocket on your purse, sisters.
Yep.
So you can slip your fingers in, pull it right out.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. A brother and I were talking on the phone, and he was talking about on his job, they had these new young guys working, and he was talking about how frustrating it is that youth have no common sense today.
Oh.
He was talking about they'll risk their lives standing on a high wall, jumping and kicking and doing things the wrong way. And they're, you know, can be lazy and they can be slothful and they can just be not using any type of common sense. And they can be 18, 20 years old and it's like they act like they're 9-year olds. They don't even have any common sense or fear about, you know, wisdom, about danger, all this kind of stuff. And him and I decided it isn't really just common sense, it's wisdom. The culture has been dumbed down. Satan has such a grip. You know, Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And he has such a grip on his culture with entertainment, sports, music, idle games, idle hobbies, that people have just become so dumbed down. They don't understand what work is. They don't understand what wisdom and knowledge is. They don't understand what fear of death and fear of God is. And Satan has them right where he wants them.
Yeah, it's like, to me, I guess I'm just thinking that a lot of people live in like a fantasy land. It's like a surreal land with the internet and
that's what we brought
TV
up.
And things.
I said, when you tell them about Jesus, they go, oh, that sounds like a Hollywood movie. And because Hollywood makes these false movies, they think everything's fake.
Yeah. Cartoons.
Yep.
And yeah, even
video games
for children and
all that stuff. Yeah. So yeah, it is kind of sad. He was kind of frustrated about that. And yeah. I can see the frustration working with people like that. And him and I talked about it's why no Christians should have a job where they supervise people of the world. That is frustrating.
Ooh.
That draws you into their issues. That gets you too close to them. Be a grunt worker, brothers. Just work on a job. You just shovel the dirt. You shovel, swing a hammer, do whatever for 8, 10, 12 hours. Work in a factory, then go home. Don't be worried about management jobs. Don't be worried about supervisor jobs. Keep your life pure and simple.
Right. You too, sisters. Those of you who are out in the workplace, make sure it's something simple.
Yep.
And, yeah, don't even be looking for those management jobs. Both
yep.
Brother Tupos and I have been in it.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I told my brother I would, if I ever had to go back to work, I'll be a janitor before I ever use my business experience and education to go back in the business world and be mingling closely with the people of the world and have to manage people and all that and all of the nuances of that, which is basically lies and man-made traditions. No way. I don't want anything to do with it.
No way.
Yeah. I have a teaching coming up. I wanted to bring this subject up. Cleanliness is next to godliness. No, it's not. cleanliness. I don't know where somebody came up with this. You know, cleanliness has nothing to do with godliness. You know, Jesus talked about the Pharisees making up rules. People had to wash the pots and cups, wash their hands, do all this stuff. God, other than in the Old Testament about purification and such, didn't have any such commandments. And I think that's maybe where people get it from, because God was into the purification process or they'd be defiled. But in the New Covenant, we don't say anything like that. So I have a teaching coming up, but there is something that people should ponder. You know, not so much cleanliness. Like if you have a little dirt in your corner, you have a couple dirty dishes in your sink, you got a couple stains on your clothes, that's not a big deal. God doesn't care about that. But I would say God is a God of order. I would say order is next to godliness. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the ecclesia, the churches of the saints. I would say, like, if your house is a total mess, a disaster, looks like a bomb went off, and if somebody walks in, that's a terrible witness. It doesn't show order. It doesn't show discipline. It shows laziness and slackness.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good. So it's not cleanliness. It's order. If your car has some dirt on it and it's not perfectly squeaky clean and shiny, that ain't no big deal. If you open the door and food wrappers and garbage and stuff's falling out, then that's like you're not in order. And you're lazy, you're slothful, and that's a bad witness. So I got a teaching coming up on that to rebuke, or excuse, I should say refute the idea of cleanliness is next to godliness. No, it's not. But order certainly should be part of a true saint's life. Any thoughts on that, Sister Amon?
Yeah, one, I think a bunch of grandmas must have got together and came up with that concept, because probably all the grandmas said it. Yeah. Not really, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with like the Old Testament, grandma. The purification process.
Yeah, but yeah, sisters, for us who are supposed to be managing our households, and that's our big responsibility of ours, I always talk about not being a perfectionist, because then you're going to be wasting too much time.
Right.
But yet not being a sluggard. So what you want to do is find that medium ground.
Be in the middle of the road, not in the ditches.
Yeah. So you can have order in your home and you know where things are for the most part. Yeah, there could be times where you got maybe a few piles here and there and you got to clean them up. And maybe you have a lot of children that it's hard to keep up with. But in the general aspect, when somebody comes into your home, they ought to not be, like, terrified to sit down or eat anything.
Right.
You know, it should be something to where, even if somebody comes in and goes, well, maybe they could use a little bit more help cleaning up. And I always say, if somebody comes in and wants to worry about that, maybe they ought to help you.
Yeah.
And see if you need some help. But, right. Yeah, you just want a medium ground in there to where you're not wasting time doing too much or not enough.
Yeah, good point. I'm going to have a teaching on that, because I've heard that all the time. Mm-hmm. Cleanliness is next to godliness, but then there are believers that have lack order in their life. Their house might be a total mess. Their car's a mess. And that can be another pointer to other things in their life. So we should have order in our lives. Sister Amon, what's on your mind today? What's on your heart? What else do you want to share? I've got a couple other thoughts, but I want you to go.
All right. I was thinking about a sister who was talking about cleaning out the ashes in the fireplace, and she was talking about sackcloth and ashes and reading about Nineveh.
Yeah.
And while she was reading that, it made me think about when I was growing up in the Lutheran lies my parents stuffed me through, and I'm glad that none of it ever stuck to me. I never understood any of it, and anytime I asked questions, nobody could answer anything. And the ashes.
Oh, I know where you're going.
We'd all line up, and the pastor
Ash Wednesday.
The pastor would take his thumb and put it in the, I thought it was dirt, and he was like rubbing dirt on my forehead. That's all I knew. It didn't look like a cross or anything to me, and I remember I was kind of scared, and I was like, what is all this about? And ask my mom and everybody, and nobody knew what it was. And I wondered why people were doing things that they had no clue what it was for, because nobody could answer any of my questions. But I was thinking about Proverbs 9:6. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. And I was thinking about that understanding because I was looking for answers, and nobody understood anything that was going on. But now, after being in Christ, I love it because we have so much understanding.
In the Word of God.
Yeah, if we're walking in His ways, all our answers are in the Scriptures.
Yeah, we got an article on Ash Wednesday where they put that ash cross on your forehead. It's a pagan practice. Nowhere is it in God's Word whatsoever.
Yeah, you know
it's
what
on the teaching blog. Check out that article from DontPerish.com.
Yeah, and it makes people walk around like they're a Pharisee because nobody rubs it off. It was one of those things.
I remember that.
You go to church in the middle of the day and you go do your ritual or something. And then everybody goes back to work and stuff, and everybody gets stuff on their head or back into school.
Yeah, these were. I remember that. Yeah, that's a good point. I remember working in an office, and I remember all these worldly, carnal people would come back from lunch and they have this cross on their forehead. And I remember thinking, what is that? And I remember thinking, wow, I didn't know that person was religious and believed in God. This one, I was a pagan. Didn't know they believed in God. It's like they don't live like anything like God would call his people to live like. It's like this little cross, this little relic thing they do is going to save them.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Without understanding.
Right.
But they're not seeking. Cause
dead man-made rituals.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Vain
good
and
point.
Empty.
Yeah. What else, Sister Amon, do you have to share today?
Well, I got a couple things, and then a scripture verse. I was going to ask you this. Do you agree?
Question time?
Yeah, it's real simple. Do you agree with this question?
Do I agree with the question? Is that a question?
Well, the answer will say if you agree with the question or not. It is kind of a question.
I'm so confused, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Would you say this is true? Some of our best memories are from our hardest times that we've had to go through.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think best means favorite, but
No, it doesn't.
It means
mean
maybe most memorable.
The ones that maybe it wasn't the favorite going through it, but You can laugh on the other side. We got a whole bunch of those.
It might be like if you get struck by lightning, you'll never forget it, but I wouldn't say it's your best memory.
Right.
Yeah, we do have a lot of things like when we were carving out the land in the homestead in Missouri we were talking about.
Yeah, we were laughing about some of those.
Yep, and some of our early road trips and some of the business things we did, we ventured to do, and all the different things. Yeah. Many, many challenges brings back a lot of memories. If we do get to live to be old and we're laying in bed dying, if our brains work, we're going to have a lot of memories. Travel, witnessing experiences, ministry, we're going to have a lot of memories.
Right, and all of those are going to be the ones that we were really struggling hard to do the works of the Lord. And
yeah.
I was talking to sisters about, you know, you got it. You're walking through the life of Christ, and you got a mountain to cross or climb, and you get up over there, and you get on the other side. You're like, "Oh, I'm glad that's done." And there's another one.
There's another one, and it's bigger.
Yeah, it is. It's
and you go, "Let's do it over again."
Yeah, right.
Because if you go back, there's another hill. You got to keep going forward.
Yeah, to go back, you got to go over all the hills.
Yeah, you got to go over all the hills. So,
I was just thinking about, you know, new believers going through all that.
Yeah, it is kind of exciting because we know new believers, and we're seeing them make those. Challenge, make it through challenges and make it through struggles and all the stuff you have to do as a new believer. And it's like, if they make it, if they endure, they're going to have the same thing. They're going to look back and go, "Oh, that was a hard first year. And I gave up so much and I lost my career and my family and I lost my reputation and I lost everything I loved." But the Lord makes it all up if they strive on and they endure, and they'll look back and they'll say, "Oh yeah, those are some fond memories there.
Best things that ever happened." Yeah, man. The hardest things you go through end up being the best things for you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah. So that's pretty awesome. It reminds me of how Peter talks about through all the trials and tribulations and patience, then you build up and build and build, and then you become that person and that vessel that God wants you to be.
Yeah.
Through all of that construction and tearing purging, down and rebuilding. And
yeah, sometimes ripping and gutting. Yeah, it's
and,
awesome.
And getting to know these young believers and help them. We get to know them and help them. That's awesome. And then we're going to be traveling with this couple, and we'll be doing a lot of ministry right together. So that's going to be awesome also to help a young couple in their journey. And they're only about two or three years out of man-made religion. So a lot of this is new to them, but they're striving and doing great. So yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Maybe we'll go through some hard times.
Yeah, we'll go through. Oh, well, you know what we're going to do together? I know we're going to laugh together. We're going to cry together. We're going to have good times. We're going to have bad times. And that's what the Bible says we should do.
Times and seasons.
Yep. Amen. And we'll rejoice in the Lord through it all.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. What's next, Sister Armin?
Don't you have anything else?
I do, but I thought you said you had one more thing.
Oh, I do, but I didn't want to take it all.
No, go for it.
Okay.
I want you to be first and I want to be last.
Well, how am I supposed to do this? Because maybe I want to be the last one, but yet I don't want to be.
We could cast lots.
Now I'll let you choose. So if you want me to go, I will.
Go for it.
This is just something really simple. Reading through the scriptures, and I come across this, and I thought, this is a question, sisters, that we never want to hear.
Uh-oh.
Matthew 15:16, and Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding?"
Yeah.
And I looked up without understanding, and it means unintelligent, foolish. It even said the word wicked in there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we don't have to be that way, because God will give us wisdom. He'll help us grow our faith. He'll give us everything that we need. So we should never have to hear that question. I would hope we'll strive not to anyway.
Right. If we stay close to the Holy Spirit, we won't.
Right.
He gives us understanding and teaches us all truth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. And that's why, I guess that goes kind of to my topic. Fits right in. I did a teaching today on self-judging, judgment, judging yourself. And that's why we study the Word of God. That's why we go over topics. That's why we do verse by verse, because we're helping ourselves through all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why we do those things.
Yeah, and if we don't want to be judged, we got to judge ourselves.
Amen.
And then if sometimes we need help judging ourselves.
Yeah, you can't see things.
Well,
you might be blinded.
So maybe we're without a little understanding at times, and we need some help.
Yep, that's why God gives teachers or elders to help people that have made the mistakes ahead of them or learned ahead of them to help them.
Or brothers and sisters, you see it.
And that's why it's so important to be lowly, meek, humble, mild, and not prideful, because then you can take correction. That's what my teaching's all about. The link will be on the edification page. It's a 13-minute audio. And it just reminds us, though, that if we don't want to be judged by the body and by God, we should judge ourselves.
Right.
And so check out that audio. It'll bless you. Hebrews 10, 30 through 31. For we know him that he has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beginning of fear is wisdom. I'm sorry. The beginning of wisdom is fear of God. So that goes right in line there that he's going to judge his people if they're outside of his word and his will. And his all of his promises are conditional. A brother just did a teaching on that. And so, yeah, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God.
It is.
So we should be walking in the truth. Yeah. And so, yeah, check out that audio on self-judging. It'll bless you.
Yeah, and you were talking about the fear of God being the beginning of wisdom?
Yep.
Well, what was the name of that new Bible version you just mentioned?
The New Ecumenical Silent Version.
Oh, okay, New
the
Ecumenical.
The ESV.
Silent Version. It's silent. Okay,
NESV. New Ecumenical Silent Version.
I was thinking that all the people in the streets that we meet, you know, who say, I don't have to fear God, and I tell them they should be reading their Bible because it's in there. I was thinking maybe it fits within there, but it doesn't. I had it wrong. They're reading some kind of new ecumenical lack of fear version.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a bunch of man-made doctrines of demons that doesn't even meld with my, it doesn't go along with the word of God that tells us to fear God, to walk in his commandments, to do. We have so much to do in the new covenant, but everybody thinks Jesus did it all and it's all done. No, it's not all done. Jesus did what we couldn't do. Now he calls us to go do what we can do and should do and are called to do. I just did that teaching. We're made for good works. God created us for good works. Even before man fell into sin, God created Adam to work in the garden.
Right.
And so we should be working for our Lord, which means walking in holiness and righteousness, keeping his commandments.
And if you fear him, you're going to judge yourself, so you're not judged.
Amen. Amen.
Bring it around full circle.
Yeah. And then my last topic, I guess, today was we had a man email us. I think this will be the third time he's emailed us.
At least.
In a year and a half. A man who lives way up in Canada, different man than the people we're going to be traveling with, but he's up in Canada, eastern Canada, I think he lives. And older man like me, and love this man, but he wanted unity, and when we tried to help him, he pretty much threw us to curb over charismatic ways, even though he couldn't defend it in God's word. Then he came back another time and said, I need help! And I tried to help him a little bit again, and once again, he ran away into his own ways, and now he's reached out recently. I need help. I can't make it on my own. I need accountability. And here's the problem is people seem to do this. We see this over and over. Long distance, people seem to do this as a pattern. And there's a big problem there. And that is we can't do for them that which they must do in the Lord. We can encourage. We can teach. We can guide. But they have to do it. And a lot of times people try to use like accountability and other people as a crutch. Like, oh, I can't get it done. Maybe you can get it done for me. No. I can encourage you, point you in the right way, hold you accountable. You got to get it done. And we've never seen it work out good for people like that. And I'm hoping and praying for this man because I care for his soul that he would come to himself and realize that he needs to step up and do it himself and that biblical accountability would be good. But you know what biblical accountability does? Helps you do what you're supposed to do. If you don't want to do what you're supposed to do, biblical accountability doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It's kind of like a local police officer. He does his job, but if you're not going to obey the law, his job really is meaningless other than he's going to come and arrest you.
Yeah.
And so this man needs to realize he has to get it done, and I can't help him if he doesn't want to get it done. And we see this all the time, and that's why we're very cautious about long-distance relationships. When you can't see people face-to-face and when they don't pour out a lot, when they're not committed, when they don't go all in, when they don't want the things of God with zeal and fervor, it's in and out and in and out and in and out. That's how most people do it long distance. And so I'd warn you, I've got articles on long-distance relationships. Be careful. And so we're very guarded against them. We strive in our ministry. We focus on the saints that are with us face to face. And then anybody that contacts us that's long distance, we'll give advice, we'll give counsel. Now go walk in it. Our website and our life every day is there to encourage you. But we can't do it for you. Any thoughts on that, Sister Amin? I know a lot of frustrations over that long distance. We'd love to be able to help them more than we can, more than we do, but we can't because they don't even want to help themselves.
Right. I think a lot of times people have been reaching out to us just because they're having a weak moment.
Yeah.
Like you said, maybe a crutch.
They know about
really
us.
Want the whole truth. Yeah, maybe sometimes people just want a little piece of the so-called holy people.
Yeah, they might
maybe
think
a little advice.
Good point. They might think we've been doing it for years, and they might think they're strong. They can pull me through. No, we can't. We can encourage you, but you got to get going.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like the fruit of what we see of all this is when the people actually reach out, and then we see the fruit that doesn't really go anywhere. They haven't really counted the cost. They're kind of, they're being lazy sluggards, I'm just going to say. And they're not getting up and doing, they're not picking up the stake and following after Christ, laying down their life.
Yep. Amen.
And, but we can encourage somebody who wants to do that. Like
you said. Oh yeah.
So any sister that reaches out to me, if you're not willing to lay down your life and lose everything, friends, family, your job, your reputation, your pride, your vanity, whatever it is that you have in this life that you're holding on to, if you're not willing to lay it down, don't even bother reaching out to me, because I'm going to rebuke you and put it down.
We're going to start with the gospel and see if we agree.
Yeah.
And when you agree with the gospel, then we're going to call you to it.
Yeah.
And then you got to obey it. Then you got to start losing your life. And then you got to walk and be accountable. If you don't want to do those things, it's like getting married and not being faithful to your partner. What's the point?
Yeah, people want just a little piece of what they want, and we don't give that.
No.
We give what God wants us to give, and that would be what Brother Tupo said, the gospel.
Yeah.
And by going through that, that's going to eliminate a lot of people.
And let me explain. We've gotten to a point with long-distance relationships. We offer two things, only one of two things. Our website's there every day to help you. Go strive in the website if that's what you want without accountability. Or we offer you, if you're willing to invest your life with other saints, close, accountable, daily fellowship, walking as a New Testament saint, obeying, coming out of the world, coming out of false religion. If you want people that love you and you want to be hooked up with some other believers that we know to encourage you every day, and you want to step up and be part of a body, even long distance, it can be done. But guess what? We don't do anything in between. We don't do once a week, send us an email, once every 3 months, get some kumbaya encouragement. We don't do any of that, because that is just not fruitful. Our God is worth being all in. If you don't want to be all in and obey, then just read our website and go do whatever you do.
Right.
That makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think that's unloving. We've learned that we must redeem the time. And I always tell men this. If I gave little bits of my time away to all the people that would like to email me once a month for some advice, but they're not serious about the faith, I would never have time for the true saints that are striving and want to know and study and be accountable and have fellowship and love each other. Because there'd be 500 of those people taking bits and pieces of me every day.
Oh, I know. I remember for the first handful of years walking in the faith, and these people would come and they just take and take and take. And you know what I felt like? I know you did too. Like some of these dry leaves, and the wind just blows them across the drive there. I mean, it's like they're like almost nothing, and you step on them and they crumble.
Yeah.
If you're not careful, they'll turn you into that, and they'll just suck the life right out of you.
Yeah, I would warn you about all that. Yeah, we call them Christian vampires, because they come and they suck the life out of you, and then they run off, and then they come back to suck more life, then they run off. They're not givers, they're takers.
They're workers of Satan.
Yeah, they're workers of Satan in most cases. And, ready? I always like to describe it this way. Be careful. These people will cause you a death by 1,000 pinpricks. Think about that. One pinprick hurts, but it don't kill you. If 1,000 people are poking you with needles, it could kill you and be very painful. But it's a little prick at a time, a little poke at a time, a little hurt at a time. And it's little nibbles of you, and you give parts and parts away of yourself to people that don't even really love God or don't really love you. And it's not fruitful. It's not wise. So we have to be wise as serpents. So, yeah, we would warn you. Watch out for long-distance relationships with people that are not all in.
Right.
We have some long-distance relationships with people that can be all in, but the people that want to dabble, really, really difficult.
Right.
Yeah. So that would be my thought on that. Any last thoughts on that, Sister Amin?
Probably not any I want to worry about talking about now, because it's not good. We'll think about something good after all that.
Yeah, because it is a little disheartening, because I'll tell you what, and let me just make it even more disheartening. That's about 99% of the Christians we meet online.
I was just thinking that. I just didn't
They're almost all that way. And so we keep our eyes on Christ, and then we're greatly encouraged by the handful of few saints we know that are really godly, holy, and committed. But all these other people that just come, I think it is, they want a piece of the holy people, but then they see, oh, I can't do that. And then they run off, and it's like, don't even bother. Jesus said, unless you want to drop your net, go back.
You're wasting your time.
Let the blind lead the blind. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go but we press on. Today.
Oh, yeah. We press on, and we're encouraged through it all. And we never know, long term, some of these people might come around, and they might finally see. Like this man, third time around, he's wanted to do it his own way. He's not getting it done. Maybe one day he'll cave before he's old and dies like me, and he'll give in and go, I got to do it God's way, not my own way.
Yeah, it's a battle of the flesh.
And I'll encourage him that one more time and say, you better be doing it God's way or you're going to lose your soul.
Right. Yeah. They're not necessarily going to get what they want from us. They're going to get what they need.
Yeah, we never tell people what they want to hear. It's years we tell them what they need to hear in the Word of God because we love their soul.
Right. That reminds me of a little boy who invented a new word. I think he calls it want need.
Want
need. He was getting want and need mixed up, so he put them both together so that way he'd cover all his bases.
Yeah, mom and dad taught him that some things he wants and some things he needs, so he just combined the two words and he said, I have a want need.
Yeah, I think that's how it goes, yeah.
That's pretty cute. Funny. Yeah. He's three. Yeah. What does he understand? Smart enough to figure that out.
You know what? I'll tell you what.
From the mouth of babes.
The littlest ones, sometimes people don't understand how smart those little ones are. They see, they observe, they figure things out.
Amen, amen. Yeah. So yeah, on that last topic, watch out for those long distance relationships with people that are not all in for all that God calls us to.
Amen.
You got scripture verse for us today, Sister Roman?
Mm-hmm. If I didn't, I would be like
a sluggard?
Down.
A spiritual sluggard?
I would be a sluggard.
You're not a spiritual sluggard.
I'm a zealous worker. That's what I want to be.
That's what we
want to
be.
I encourage my sisters to be zealous workers, too.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if you want me to read this one, because it's not like an uplifting one, but it's a warning of what we don't want to happen.
Yep.
Psalm 11:6. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup.
Yeah.
I don't want that cup.
I like that because the Bible talks about God being our portion. And then, yeah, watch out. The opposite side is sin and wickedness and judgment is going to be in your portion. So think of a plate. You have a plate full of things that you could partake of. The living manna, the living water and the manna from heaven. It's Christ and the things of God. Or you can have a plate full of wrath and sin and wickedness that's going to lead to your destruction. Which one's your portion?
I'll dump the bad one out and fill it with
Amen.
The good.
Yeah, that's a good verse. That's an eye-opening verse right there.
It is.
And we need those.
We do.
You know why? Because there's a goodness to God and there's a severity to God. And by the way, go listen to the audio I did on being self-judged. Here, this one will kind of level it out for you. The Bible uses the word love about 430 times. The Bible uses the word judgment about 400 and some times. Very close. To love, judgment, and love. The way people talk today, you would think the word love is used 10,000 times, and the word judgment or repent is only used a few, but it's very equal. God's word is very equaled out. Judgment and love are very equal in the amount of times they're used.
Yeah.
That should tell us something about the character and nature of God. There's a goodness, and there's a severity as well. I have a scripture verse. I would say this is uplifting. 1 Corinthians 10, 2 through 6. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and for they drank that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Mm. That's the good part. Here's the bad part. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are examples to intent. We should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. So it's got a bad story in it, but it gives us good example. Don't be like those children in the desert.
Right.
And what do I always tell my brothers when any of us are struggling and might be grumbling or complaining or not grateful?
Well,
I go like this and suck that quail meat out of your teeth, because that's what they were doing in the desert. They had water, manna, and quail meat, and they were grumbling, and it rotted in their teeth.
Yeah.
We don't want to be that way.
Their hearts are far from him.
Yeah, godliness with contentment is great gain, and thankfulness is right involved in that.
Right. Amen. A sister was just reading about thankfulness today.
Yeah. So, anything else, Sister Roman, after we'll leave on that verse?
Yeah, love to all the saints.
Yep.
Hold fast, and if you're long distance and you're not serious, well, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. We don't want you to lose your soul.
No,
I would say at the end of this edification audio, that verse just said, Christ is our rock. I love that. in Matthew 16, he said, I will build my ecclesia upon this rock. It's
Love
him.
That.
I would say we all need to go forth, build on, stand on the rock, Jesus Christ, and we will not fail.
Amen.
Love you all. Go forth. Strive. Let us know how we can help you. Till next time, we say it, we mean it, we live it.
We do.
May God be praised.
Amen.
Love you all.